first reading is from Paul's letter to the Corinthians, beginning at chapter 8, verse 16. I thank God, who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way we administer this liberal gift, for we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. In addition, we are sending with them our brother, who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the church and an honor to Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you, so that the churches can see it. Our second reading is taken from Mark's Gospel, beginning at, where are we? Chapter 5, verse 24. So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all that she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I can just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Immediately, her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was free from her suffering. At once, Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around to the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," the disciples answered, "and yet you ask who touched me?" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." Traditionally, the priest, when they preside at their first ever Holy Communion, has the right to ask whoever they want to preach at that same service. I gave Rachel that choice and she asked me to preach, which was really very, very lovely. But I promise I did give her the option, haven't inflicted myself on her. The title of the talk this evening is How to Lead Well. And when I wrote that, I was really aware of the arrogant assumption within the title that I set myself up as if someone who knows exactly what they're talking about. Well, please know that is not my purpose this evening. But rather, I want to celebrate with Rachel this new office of priest that she is stepping into, this new role of leadership that she has as she presides and blesses and absolves this evening. All of us, in one way or another, are involved in leadership in some way. The moment we take responsibility for anything or anyone, we are involved in leading. Now, it might be that the thing that we're leading at this time is our family, raising decent kids or grandkids. Perhaps we're leading a branch of MU. Perhaps we're leading a connect group here or plan to next term or a home group, absolute fabric of our church. Perhaps you are a team leader in your place of work, heading up a small group of people. It is my really deep conviction this evening that Rachel is going to lead very, very well indeed, and is in fact already a marvelous priest. So I want to share my thoughts on leadership with you this evening, as well as I can. Because as we all lead, if we are to do so well, it is by following our leader, the one who showed us how in the person of Christ. And if there is one thing I would put to you and to myself this evening, it is this. Know that you are a child of God. Be secure in that identity, and you will lead well. Know that you are a child of God. The text we heard in the letter to Corinthians this evening, in the context is that Paul is saying that times are tough, but don't give up. And I've said that more than once in the course of this pandemic. Times are tough, but don't give up. Paul has just had a short and a very difficult visit to Corinth. He had planned to come back, but he decided against it. It wasn't going to be a fruitful venture. So he went on instead to serve the churches in Asia. His leadership at this point is coming under quite a lot of accusations. He is facing accusations that he is unreliable, that he is not a true apostle, and that he is pocketing money intended for the church. His leadership is being attacked. And his response is to write a strongly worded letter. And he's anxious to hear back from the people that he loves. He's so anxious to hear back from them that he travels to Troas to try and gauge news of how this letter has been received. And it's there that he encounters Titus, who brings him great news. The letter has worked. There's deep relief. This is one of Paul's most personal letters that we read. We hear his anxious and vulnerable voice in that letter. He acknowledges that he's hurt. His feelings have been hurt. And he does that with great vulnerability. He's able to do this because he knows he's a child of God. He knows who he is in Christ. We're going to break this down a little bit now into three areas. How do we find and attain that identity as children of God? How do we retain it? How do we stay undefended and vulnerable? How do we lead from a place of freedom that allows God to be our strength and not striving in our own abilities? So how do we retain our identity as children of God? It's really important to remember when we're coming into any position of leadership that leadership is not about the stuff that we know. It's not about skills that we've acquired over the years, although it can also be that. It's not about our qualifications or our experience. It is about knowing who we are in Christ and standing firm on that identity. Why is this? Because leadership is about trust, and it's about power and the appropriate use of that power. And I have to say thank you to Simon Walker and his brilliant book, Leading Out of Who You Are, for which much of this sermon is based on. If you're going to be involved in leading, it means leaving the place where you currently are to go somewhere else. And that is not an easy process at all. It is painful, and it involves trust and appropriate use of power. And people will trust you if they know that you sincerely love them. The love has to come first. That is integral. We love first and we lead second. And love can often involve a really painful honesty. It can involve apologizing when we get things wrong that will build trust. It can involve being open about the times we haven't always had it easy. Anyone who pretends their life is plain sailing in leadership, I kind of don't trust them, if I'm being honest. Jesus said this life has troubles. So if we're going to lead, we need to be honest about who we are and about the battles that we face. Because we find when we are open with our struggles, so we find a kind of extraordinary strength that we sense doesn't come just from us. It's from someone else. Look at the great leaders through history. Look at Mandela and Churchill and Moses and Paul, we hear in this letter. They suffered first. And they were real about that suffering. And they walked out of their comfort zones, and people were prepared to go with them. They were equipped to walk others to new places because it was a path they had traveled themselves. We are able to sincerely love when we know that we are sincerely loved. So there's another step before we can lead. We have to receive love. We have to receive the love of God that equips us to love others, and then we can lead. If you don't know that you are fully and wholly loved, and you sense that you might be called to a new phase of leadership, then this is something that needs to be looked at first, for everyone's sake, but not least your own. Because as power grows and influence grows, so temptations towards corruption also grow. And we can all think of leaders who have been corrupt. Their corrupt leadership is writ large on the pages of history. So we have to look at these things first. Of course, self-doubt is normal. We all have that. Many of us even experience self-loathing at times. And the world desperately needs brave souls who are prepared to look at the root causes of this stuff and with appropriate support, break the bondage that would hold us back from the calling God has on our lives. Because when we lead from a place of real vulnerability, we can do so standing firm on the rock that is a knowledge that we are children of God, loved first. He loved us first. Leaders who know who they are in Him have the ability to help others walk to freedom. They have the ability to break down walls of injustice. They are less afraid of the cost to themselves because they know they are the beloved. They know they are the beloved, so they can carry that more readily. So how do we stay undefended? How do we stay in this place? If we find ourselves, as we all have done or will do at some point or another, defensive or power hungry, it may be that there is an unmet emotional need that we need to look at. Can you think of a leader that you would categorize as psychopathic? Perhaps even in recent history, no names, of course. A psychopathic leader is a person who has almost no feelings for another human being and fails to recognize them as valuable. They would see a human being as a commodity to be used for their own ends. It may well be, it is possible, that there is an unmet emotional need in themselves, a root cause that has never been looked at, a deficit within themselves. Contrast this to Jesus. Jesus, who had no deficit within himself and models appropriate leadership for us to follow. Jesus, who was utterly responsive to the needs of other people, as we've heard in our gospel reading tonight. Jesus, who saw others as of equal value to himself, children of God. It is vital that we take rest as Jesus modeled for us, coming away from the crowds to spend time in the presence of God and the people who love us the most, not overwhelmed by the needs of the world, but to be equipped so that we can do the thing that God is calling us to do. As we heal that unmet need, as we begin that long and painful journey, we'll find just how extraordinarily fruitful it can be, because life's most precious things, love, healthy relationships, family, friends, our freedom, these are things worth fighting for. They're worth doing the hard stuff for, because healing is really hard work. It's really painful. But as we walk free, so we can walk others to freedom. If we can find the courage to open the Pandora's box of our pasts, perhaps in the safety of a therapist's office, perhaps with a dear and trusted friend, perhaps in the time of prayer ministry, or perhaps like me, you will need all three of those things as we address those unmet needs. So we find the Holy Spirit confirming in our heart again and again and again, you are a child of God. You are the beloved, made in his image, and our walls start to come down. And we find, as we become a little bit more vulnerable, there is an extraordinary strength that rises up within us when we begin to believe who we are, when we begin to believe that we are the beloved. So how do we lead from a place of freedom in our vulnerability? Unconditional love and total acceptance, of course, is a cornerstone of the Christian faith, the bedrock that we want to build on. But life is tough, and we need to pray for the grace not to judge other people. And we need to pray that others will have grace for us, that they will see us as he sees us. But the hard reality is that others may turn away. They might. But God never will. God never, ever will. And as we find a confidence in that knowledge, and we can begin to put our hands up and say, actually, my life is not that straightforward. It's a bit messy. Here's something that happened to me once, or here's a weakness that I have that I want to share with you. So we find other hands popping up all over the room, and people begin to say, me too. I really relate to that, actually. This is what Scripture calls bringing something into the light. Because as we do that, it can lose a lot of its fear and a lot of its power. We all have a hidden life. That's part of being human. But for many of us, it can be a place of real fear and shame and thought that you will be rejected if anyone sees it. But actually, if we can begin to learn that we are beloved children of God, that hidden life ceases to be a place of fear and can become a place of fruitful exploration. And we can become part of the solution as we give ourselves permission to be imperfect. So we give others permission to be a bit imperfect and a bit messy too. Defended leadership when walls are up results in manipulation and control and denial of the situation before a leader, or denial of themselves. Whereas undefended leadership leads to empowerment of others, generosity of spirit, a desire to educate and to give away the good thing that that leader has. And isn't that what we see in Jesus? Isn't that what we see in his life? Because he was secure in who he was. He knew he was loved by the Father. There was a trust between him and the Father, and that allowed him to be undefended. So undefended, he went to the cross for us, that we would be free. His was a life poured out for the good of others. Now, Jesus, of course, had the perfect parent. We were all parented imperfectly in one way or another. And many of us are in the process of being very imperfect parents right now at this moment. But as we come to God as Father and we hear that we are his children and that he will love us perfectly, so we find the courage to begin this journey with him, a journey to freedom that allows us to try and to fail and to be really okay with that. That's really okay. Titus, who the reading has referred to from Paul earlier on, says, in Paul's letter, would have been imperfectly parented himself. And yet, the reading says this, Thanks be to God, who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus is not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative, much like our Rachel is in her leadership today. We are sending him along with a brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. What's more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honor the Lord and to show our eagerness to help. Many of the characteristics we have mentioned today, present in a good leader, are displayed in this reading here. Titus has a concern for others. He knows who he is, and he sees the worth of others. He steps out into leadership with enthusiasm and with a heart to serve the gospel as his motivation. To honor the Lord always is his aim. So my urging for all of us today is to be a bit more like Titus, to pursue the paths that lead to undefended leadership. Paths of faith in Christ and trusting in the work of the Spirit in our lives. Perhaps through therapy, perhaps through our dear and trusted friends, and perhaps through prayer ministry as we walk on our road to freedom in Him. Because the long, hard road is the one that makes for great leaders. It is the one that Jesus walked before us so that we could follow in his footsteps. Let's pray. Father, help us to lead well. Help us to be more like Christ. And in their human weakness, like Paul and Titus, help us to bring into the light all the self-doubts that we hide and the things we think will cause us shame. Help us to receive your love and affirmation. We pray we would be changed by it, broken by it, and remade in your image, that we can become part of your solution for this world. For Jesus' sake, amen.